Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Chet tonight. Learning tonight is sponsored by Saul Berger in memory, I assume, of his mother, Reizel Bat Natan HaKohen, Zichron LeBracha. Not here. Okay, so on Yud Chet, let's begin on Yud Zayin with Beis, 17b, page 34.
So
the mission we learned yesterday, that when a person's an Onain, then he's Patur from all mitzvahs in the Torah. And the B-tweet that the Mishnah used, Mi Shemaitim Utalafanav, a person whose mate is in front of him, we think it means literally that he's there with the body. That's what the Gemara thinks initially. So four lines at the bottom on page 34, Yizayin Od Beis, Utalafanavim, Mishnah Utalafanav Lo. So apparently, if the cadaver is in front of him, then he's Patur. The cadaver is not in front of him. If the cadaver is in one house and he's in another house, then we think he's not Patur. So the Gemara says, Ruminhi, and this we pose a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Mi Shemeito Mutalafanav Ochel Vayit Acher. If a person, his mate is in front of him, it's not Derech Eretz that he should eat in the presence of the mate. It's like a Loi Larash that was that he would eat. The meat can't eat. Vim Ein Lo Vayit Acher, if he doesn't have another house, so he says, Ochel Bebe Chavero. So we should leave the body, he'll be in house A, and he'll go to his friend's house, Bebayit Acher. Vim Ein Lo Beit Chavero, if he doesn't have a friend's house to open up to him, so you should create a mechitza, create a partition, please, create a partition, and then eat that way. He has nothing with which to make a partition between himself and the body. So he turns the other way and he eats in that direction. But under those circumstances, he doesn't recline in the normal way that he would normally recline. He has to have a certain, you know, COVID rosh because he's in the presence of the mate. He should not eat meat or drink wine because he's in the state of aninus. He doesn't bench and he doesn't make a birchas hamotzi. Einam avarech is he doesn't make a birchas hamotzi, and he doesn't join in the mezumin. In other words, he's not going to bench. In other words, he's sort of like in this, you know, like mitzvah free zone. On the top line, you have an aleph. Ve'im avarechin alav. Other people don't recite hamotzi on his behalf. Ve'im mezamin alav. Other people don't. They're not mezamin with him. They don't bench for him. He's exempt from Kriyat Shema, he's exempt from davening, he's exempt from tefillin. Shabbat, but on Shabbat, it's a different protocol. He can recline on Shabbos, and he can eat meat and drink wine. He makes birchas hamotzi, he benches, he says, joins the benching. Other people can make hamotzi for him, other people can be mezamein for him, and he'll listen to their benching. So on Shabbos, he's chayav in all mitzvot in the Torah. It says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Mitoshin Chayav BeElu and Chayav BeKulan. Gamliel says since he's chayav in the mitzvos that we mentioned in the brisa, he's chayav in all mitzvos. So the Gemara before it continues on, it wants to propound a question from this brisa. Before we get to the question, the Gemara says, like, what's the difference between Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Tana Kama says he's chayav in all mitzvot, and Shimon Gamliel says he's chayav BeKulan. So what's the difference between the two of them?
On Shabbat.
So the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan." The Gemara is breaking off from the Brisa. "Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, my benai." What's the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Shulam Liel? So Tashmi Shemishta Ita Beginayu. So the nafkamina is whether he can engage in intimate relations with his wife on that Shabbos that he's an Onain. According to the Tanakama, he's not obligated to. He's exempt from engaging in intimate relations. Shulam Liel, no, he's chayev. In other words, if it's her, you know, Leil Tevila, it's like the Ona, so he is obligated to have relations with her on that night. So Kushal Lila, he is a Chayev, and according to Tana Kama, not. All right, back to the
Gemara. How did Yochanan see that?
Well, in other words, because Rishulim says Mitosh Chayev Be'ilu Nid Chayev Be'kulan, all of them. So something more. Rishulim is saying something more than Tana Kama says. That's so Yochanan is helping us out. Now Katani Mihat. So, but we learned at least in the Brisa, Patur Mikriyat Shema Minatzfilin and Mikumas Vado Murot B'Torah. So we think it means that. In other words, we learned in the Brisa a couple of cases. One is when the mace is in one house and he's in another house, let's say. That's the most extreme case. So we said that he's pater from all the mitzvot in the Torah when it's not Shabbos. So we said in the Mishnah it's only when meito mutav lefanav, when the mace is in front of him. In other words, the cadaver is in front of him. But if he's in a different house, not. But here it sounds like wherever you are, you're exempt. So that's the question. So Amar HaPapa, Tirgama machzir panava ochel. So Papa says, you should explain when the Brisa says that he's exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah, it's only on the last case that the Brisa mentioned. The Brisa mentioned a couple of cases, that the cadaver's in one house, and then he'll go to another house. The cadaver's in one house, he'll go to his friend's house. The cadaver's in one house, and then he puts a partition up. And then
that
if the cadaver is in the house, and he turns his face away. So it's only in that case that he's exempt. But when the mace is mutalafanav, any other case not. He says, Rav Ashi Amar, Kimen Shumutalav Lakovro, Kimutalafanav Dami. Rav Ashi says, since it's his obligation to take care of burying the mace, so that's the equivalent. In other words, Mutalafanav doesn't have to be that it's right in front of me. If I have to take care of all the arrangements for the kavura, that's called Mutalafanav, even if it's not physically in front of me, but it's like on my plate. I have to take care of that. So Mela, so he's saying when the Mishnah says Mutalafanav, it doesn't mean that the base has to be in front of him. It just means that he's responsible for taking care of the kavura. He says, Shenemar, Vayakam Avraham Me'al Penei Meito. He says that Avraham got up Me'al Penei Meito, Sarah had died, and he gets up Me'al Penei Meito, and then he says, and he's speaking to Bnei Chait, he says, V'nemar v'ekbara miti milafanai. So Sarah's not right in front of him, and yet Avram refers to her as being milafanai. So we see that when the expression Meito mutal lefanav doesn't mean the cadaver is physically right in front of you, it means if you got responsibility to pay for it, it's lefanav. That's what it means. Okay, now, all right, what was that?
When you were talking about going to a friend's house to eat, so you don't do it in front of the maid, I assume that the person with the meito mutala panav is the shomer of the maid.
We'll come to it. We'll come to it in a bit. I'll just wait a little bit, okay? Okay, everybody good? All right, now. All right, let me get to the two dots, and I'll come back. I'll pick up some points, and we'll go further, okay? So... all right, now the Gemara says, "Meito in aval mashamro lo." So the Gemara takes it that if there's a cadaver you're responsible for burying, then you have an exemption. But if you're mashamir, if you're just a shomer on the body, then you don't have the exemption. That's the way it sounds like. Misha meito mutalafanav, but mashamro lo. So he says, "Meito in aval mashamro lo." Vahatanya, but we learn in the Brisa. Hamashamir and a maid, Alpha Pisha Eno Meito, Patur Mekriat Shmom and Atfilim and Atfilin, Mukumasvot Amurot Batorah. That if a person is a shomer on the body, and we'll see in the Gemara, the main concern for being a shomer was you wanted to prevent the mice from eating the cadaver. But there's an idea also of kavod for the mace, even without a concern for mice. So he says, so the Brisa says if a person is a shomer on a mate, so even though it's not related to the person, so he's exempt from Kriyat Shema, from tefillin, from Kumasvot Amur Torah. So Mishamro, so the Gemara explains, Mishamro Alpha Pishein Meito, Meito Alpha Pishein Mishamro. So the Gemara is explaining that there's two exemptions. So if you're Mishamro the mate, even though it's not in your mate, then you're exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. On the other hand, if it's your mate, then even though you're not mishamir it, you're exempt from all mitzvahs. So again, let's go slowly with this. So if you're a shomer on the mace, that means you're in the vicinity of the mace, because you're a shomer on the mace, so then you're exempt from all mitzvahs. If you're the one responsible for making the arrangements for the kavura, then even though you're not in front of the mace, you're taking care of it though, even though you're five blocks away, you're a patur from all mitzvahs. Okay, just 1 minute. Now, so the Gemara says, Meitu Mishamru in of a Mahalik Vidakvarot Lo. So the implication of that is if I'm a shomer or it's the person who's responsible for the mace, then he has an exemption from all mitzvos. But Mahalik Vidakvarot, if I'm walking in a cemetery or I'm in the immediate vicinity of a cadaver, then I don't have an exemption. Vahatanya, we learn the Brisa, Lo Yalech Adam Veda Kvarot, Utfilim Rosho Vesefer Torah Zro, Vekorei. A person shouldn't walk in the cemetery with tefillin on his head. And the tefillin's on the head, that's the part that's exposed. In other words, so it's exposed. Vesefer Torah Zro, Vekorei. He's got a Sefer Torah in his chest, and he's reading the Sefer Torah. He says, Ve'imo Sekein, if he does that, Over Mishum Loig Larash Cherefo Sehu. So then he transgresses the law in the Torah that a person, like he makes fun of a poor person, so he blasphemes Hashem. In other words, the fact that if I'm walking near a mate and I'm wearing tefillin, and the maid can't wear the tefillin. I'm right near the maid. I'm studying Torah. The maid can't study Torah. So I shouldn't do those things in the presence of the maid. So the Gemara explains, Hatam toch arba amot huda asur. That's a different exemption. In other words, there, if I'm within arba amot of the maid, so that I'm prohibited on all these things. I shouldn't have like a clear mitzvah that I'm doing in arba amot of the maid. Chutz la'arba amot chayev. I'm outside the arba amot, then I'm chayev. In other words, if I'm not a shomer, but I'm just within arba amot of the maid, so then I have prohibitions. The amar ma'ar may toface arba amot l'kriyat shema. That the maid, there's a din of like within arba amot of the maid, I'm patur from kriyat shema. So hacha chutz la'arba unami patur. But when it comes to the shomer, even if he's outside the dalet amot, he's patur. Okay, so let's just go over, just a minute, and then we still have some more things to do. Okay, Seth, come on in, we're doing the first summary, okay? So, you listening, Seth? Okay, so we said that if a person's in a state of aninus, which means that's between, for purposes of avelus, it means between the time the person dies and the kvura, so then they're patur from all mitzvos in the Torah. They're right, they're patur from all mitzvos, except on Shabbos, and on Shabbos they're chayv in all mitzvos. Okay, that's the first yisod. Then we said another patur, if a person's a shomer on a maid, you're a shomer, even though you're not related to the maid or anything like that, so you're also patur. And we'll talk about shomer in a minute.
Then we, of everything?
Everything, but we'll see in a minute. The next sugya has a piece. Yeah. Now, 1 minute. Then there's another, if I'm within dalet amos of the maid, so I shouldn't be doing mitzvos within dalet amos of the maid.
Loig larash.
Okay, let me just do a piece in Tosfos, and I want to mention the rush, and then we'll be... Okay, now one issue that comes up is, let's say somebody has one of the Shiva Krovim die, but they're not involved in the kavura, right? Let's say a person lives in Australia. His brother dies in New York, or he doesn't even have to be that extreme. He's just not involved in the other people taking care of it. Okay, so let's take a look in Tosfos. So, if you look in the big Tosfos, we're not doing the whole Tosfos, obviously. Let me just get to the piece where we're going to pick it up. It's around. In the top Tosfos, but around 20 lines above where it says the Sefer Torah is the next Tosfos, right after Rav Nissim Gaon. You see where it says Rav Nissim Gaon in the left hand column. So it says Im Kain in the middle of the line. It's around, if you see the narrow lines in Tosfos, around 20 lines from the bottom. If you see where it says Pei Beis in parentheses, is around 10 lines above that. The first word on the line is Chal Le Aninut.
Got it.
Okay, do you have it, Fern?
No, yes.
Okay, and Malcolm, you have it, and Seth? Okay, so Imkain, Adam Shinu Chuluk Bor Meito, let's say a person can't bury his mate. The mate means one of the Shiva Krovim. You know, Adam Shemait Bebet Asurim, let's say somebody died, he was incarcerated, Vein Amoshe Mani Chuluk Kovro, and the governor doesn't let him bury him. Means the governor wants money to let you bury the person. Doesn't mean like it was justice system. It's just, you know, they locked him up and they didn't let him bury it. You know, there was a famous case with the Maharam Rutenberg where he was held under house arrest and then they wanted the Jewish community to ransom him, and he gave instructions that they shouldn't ransom him because, in other words, the governor wanted $1 zillion to ransom him. He didn't want them to pay that. You just pay like the regular rate. So he said. So he gave instructions that they shouldn't ransom him. And then after he died, they held on to his body for a number of years. And then somebody years. So finally, somebody ransomed the body, and then he got kavura. So he says here. So the moshel is not manichul lekovro. So the governor or the ruler, whatever it is, doesn't want to let you bury the body. So Mamela, so you're caught between a rock and a hard place. In other words, so you can't bury him. Nirish ein chayav and hogbo aninut sherei ein zemutal of lekavro bnei she'ein yichol lefdoto lehotzio lekavro. So I can't redeem him. He wants $1 zillion. I don't have $1 zillion. I'm not going to pay $1 zillion. And there's actually, you know, there's a halacha, and we'll come to it. We've had it in Gemara where you're not supposed to pay to ransom people, you know, a certain amount of the regular rate. He says, "Kidatani v'sechet smacho nityashub alami lekovro mit amlin alav." So it says, once the people give up you know, they're making yesh that they'll ever bury him, then they do avelus. Upasik b'nei torah aninot. Miu ba'otosh tefaso moshel gab avelin in chayav lo dami lin tiashu mil kovro shemin a kovre tum al hakadayin hu mitzapeh miu chalas upsharim moshel lanichol le kovro. Here we're talking about a case where he's hoping maybe he'll be able to work out a deal with the governor or whatever. V'chein ma'asid reb lezeb reb shimin b'av matziya the pasik mitzvah aninot the ma'asish, like there's an incident in the gemara b'av matziya reb lezeb reb shimin. He was dead and he was in the attic for many years and they gave up trying to bury him. He says, "Umasa shemita achotosh Rabbeinu Tam b'Shabbat." There was an incident where the sister of Rabbeinu Tam died on a Shabbos. V'hodiu lo b'motzei Shabbat b'ir acheret. And they told Rabbeinu Tam he was in a different city, and they told him your sister died. Ba'achal basar b'shatayayin. So he ate meat and drank wine. Va'amar kevin sheish labal shechayah b'kvurata inu asur basar b'yayin. He said, she's got a husband. He's taking care of the kvura. I'm allowed to eat the meat and drink the wine.
This was Shabbat anyway.
Yeah, but it comes out this is Motzei Shabbat. They told him right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they do talk about the fact that it was on a Shabbos. He says, "Ve'efshar shegam Rabbeinu Tam." Well, please let us wait 3 minutes till I finish. Okay, the efshar shegam Rabbeinu Tam imaya beir atzmo hayamekiel meototam. It could be that even if Rabbeinu Tam would be in the same city with the sister, he would have been meikil as well, because the husband is taking care of the whole thing. Now, just give me 3 minutes. Let me finish my sentence, okay? Okay. Now, the Rush. I didn't see the Rush inside, but Rabbi Sobolovsky, who was Rabbi Rush, she mentioned it. The Rush disagrees with this. The Rush holds that if it's one of your meitim, then you are chayev. Then you are chayev. So I'm not 100% sure how we would paskin, but I think let me leave on who would pass. So you get into the issue, you'll ask your local competent Orthodox rabbi.
My brother was in Israel.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My mother was nifteret here.
Right. It's more extreme when you're like you know, not even in the parsha where you could be involved and you would even if you would want to be involved. You know what I mean? Then it's more extreme, like Rabbi Solovsky was saying, that in that case it might be like there's an idea with Gemara Hazmoi Katan when the people turn their faces away from the Aaron so they begin their Avelus. Like let's say you're burying somebody in Eretz Yisrael and the family goes to the hangar and let's say there's 10 members of the family and 2 members are going to the Kfura and 8 are staying here. So the 8 who are staying here, they begin doing Avelus once they turn their faces away from the Aaron. They're finished with it. So that might be more extreme in that situation. All right, now, the other issue that comes up in the sugya is let's say you're in Aninus, do the dine of Avelus, are they chal on you or not? In other words, are the restrictions of Avelus, do they chal immediately or after the kavura? So there's a machloket rishonim about that. So I'll touch in one case.
We get out of leather after the kavura.
What's it again, right?
I thought we get out of
right,
leather.
Right. According to that side, right. That's where we wear it that way. Now, there was a case. I remember Ramel Shachter, Rav Hershel Shachter's father, Zichron Levracha. I remember he said there was a case he had where a guy was a traveling salesman, and then one of his krovim died, and his hair was very long, and Rav Melech told him he gave him a heter to go to a barber. In other words, if he would have waited till the Avelus, then the hair would be like, so he couldn't handle the whole time. So he gave him a heter to go to a barber before the Kavura, and it's working with that idea. Okay, who said questions come to us, anything we did so far?
So he ate on Shabbat or after Shabbat?
Yeah, so it sounds like he ate after Shabbos. Meat and wine.
Or he just wasn't aware. Now, it's also only positive mitzvot that you're not allowed to do.
What I'm losing it. What I'm saying again?
It's only positive
Right. And there was love him. It was, I can't eat, because I'm an onain, doesn't mean I can't have a cheeseburger. You can't even have the burger.
You're obligated to fast if you're an onain on a fast day.
You are or not?
Yes, you are.
It makes sense. All right. Any other questions? All right. Let's see further. Now, all right, let's see. We're 2 lines above where it gets wide in the Gemara. All right. Nagufa, Hamashamer Ramed, Afa Pishen Ometo, Patur Mikriyat Shema, Minatfilo, Minatfilo, Mikoswara Mobatora. So he said if a person is a Shomer, so he's got also an exemption. Hayushnayim, let's say there are 2 people who are like doing a tag team with the Shmira. So let's say one's gonna guard 1 hour and the other the other hour and go back and forth. Hayushnayim zemeshamer v'zekorei v'zemeshamer v'zekorei. So then they should do that. So in other words, one will be the shomer, the other one will daven. Then when the other one's the shomer, the other one will daven. That's the way to do it. He says ben azay omer hayubayim b'sfina. Ben azay says if they were traveling by boat, it means then the Aaron is with them on the boat. So Ben Azai says if they're traveling by boat, they can leave the Aaron in one corner and they both could daven in the other corner. So the Gemara says, Mai Benai, what's the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Ben Azai? No, when it seems like this, the Tanakama seems to say that even if you're on the boat, nothing changes.
Where are they praying on the boat? On the boat?
No, I'm playing on the boat. Yeah, people pray on a boat. Okay, so they're transporting the Aaron wherever they're going, maybe to Eretz Israel. And so they're going to leave the Aaron in one corner, the boat, and they're going to pray to both in the other corner. So the Tanakhama holds that even then, they can't both pray together. One has to be the Shomer. So the Gemara says, Mai Benai, what's the point of dispute between the Tanakhama and Ben Azai? So Amar Avina Choshen Lachbar and Ika Benayu. So the issue is, do we have to be concerned for mice on the boat? Tamar Savar Chayshinan, the Tanakhama holds that even on the boat, we have to be Choshish for mice, so they have to keep up their Shmira. Umar Savar Lo Chayshinan, the other one holds that no, we don't have to worry about it. And in other words, the way you could, the approach you would take is that everybody might agree that mice are much less, you know, common on a boat, but let's say the rare occurrence we do have a mouse on a boat, so do I have to be Choshish for that and keep up my guard or not? And that's the way it's coming out. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
You said before,
cover
the net doesn't apply.
Say again, what?
Cover the net.
Yeah. So I don't know what to say. It sounds like from Ben Azai, in other words, you have that, but then you have the fact that they both want to daven. So that might be like a counterbalancing thing. I don't know. Also, right. I don't know what else to say. Okay. Now, And this comes up a lot today, you know, unfortunately bodies are put into like the morgue and the hospital and things like that. So I think preferably you still want Shmira, but in a pinch they rely that, you know, that's you know, it's safe and sound type of thing.
All right.
There is Shmira, there's no Shmira.
In other words, you preferably want there to be Shmira in a situation like that, but I think if you can't, so they'd say, well, at least, you know, it's like guarded, you know, the body is protected and things like that. All right, now, let's see back in the Gemara. We're on the fourth wide line on Yud Ched Amar Aleph. All right, Tan Rabbanan, if a person is transporting bones, so Bizman Chazal, they would bury the person, and then after a year, they would likur atzamot. They would collect the bones. And so the Gemara says, so Tan Rabbanan, molichat samot makom lakom. A person is transporting human bones from point A to point B. I raise the loyit name bediskia. You shouldn't put a diskia. Diskia is duskia, dusakim, like two sacks, but it's like saddlebags. Like one lies on one side of the animal, the other on the other animal side. Be it name of gabi chamor, be your kavalehem. So I shouldn't be riding on top of the bones. He says, meishinoi behem minad bizayon. That's like, you know, disgraceful to the covenant of the bones. V'mayamit yarim him nochrim, and they list him, mutar. But he was afraid for goyim or list him. So it means with the list him, he's afraid that they're going to come and attack him. He's waiting for his life. So then you know, that's it. We're going goodbye. You know, and so in those circumstances, I could ride on the bones. But I saw one of the mafarshim today wanted to say that with the nachrim, the concern is not that he was going to be physically harmed, but he was afraid that the nachrim would be mevaza the bones. So in other words, so you have like a vadai concern that the nachrim are not going to behave with kabbal with the bones. And then he will do it this way, but at least this way, you know, we'll get it out of the situation. When they list him mutar, the same dinim that they said by atzamot, they say by sefer Torah. So we did by atzamot with the normal case, and then the exceptional case. So hey, which halach is the same? So the Gemara says ilayim areish pshita. So it's obvious I shouldn't stick a sefer Torah in my saddlebag and sit on the sefer Torah. That Gemara says is obvious. So migara sefer Torah atzamot. The sefer Torah is not entitled to less kabo than atzamot. Ela sefer. It's saying the sefer. If I'm concerned that the bandits or the goyim are going to get the sefer Torah, and who knows how wide with it, so then I'm going and we're clearing out of town.
Is it sefer Torah that has psul in it, or
no? A kosher sefer Torah, okay.
And if it did have a psul in it?
So would you still be muhuyev to rana with like that?
Kavod,
well, certainly there are dinim that you have to give kavod for.
Yeah,
so yeah, right. So we're corrected. If it's just a mistake, you correct it. So I would think the same dinim would apply. Okay, now.
What's the reason they would do this?
Do what?
Rebury the body, the bone.
I don't know.
Not bury the right place in person.
I don't know. This is where they did it, Bizman Chazal. Maybe it'll come up later on the parak and we'll try to claw it up. Okay, but all right. So Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda. I mean,
kapara reason.
I don't. All right, let me leave it. So Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda. Quote: Roah hameid einu malaveyu over mishum loig l'rashchur eposayu. If a person sees a maid and he doesn't escort the maid, and the key mitzvah is the escorting the maid. You know, I don't know if people always realize this. Like, you go to a kvura, so it, like the main mitzvah is afterwards when the hearse is, you know, riding. Maybe if you go to the cemetery, it's even better. But the hearse is, you know, driving 100 feet and following the hearse. That's the main mitzvah, and people, you know, don't
they
necessarily,
go back to the car.
Yeah, whatever, like that. So he says, so Amarach Amar Rav Yehuda Kol Roa Meiva Inam Laveyu Over Mishum Loig L'Rash Chareif Hoseyu. That's like making scorning the poor person. He disgraces, or he like blasphemes Hashem. It means that Mistama, it gives the idea, like, I don't think the person's chashuv. In other words, the poor person can't do anything for me, and the maid can't do anything for me, so I'm not going to give him the kavod. So it's like, it's cheirif oseyum. V'imhovau mascharo, but if I escort the maid, what is the reward? Amar Vasya, Lavakhtav Omer, Malveh Hashem Chonein Dao. So the Pshuto Shemikra means that if a person like shows graciousness to a poor person, he's like, in other words, let's say I would give money to a poor person, I'm like loaning money to Hashem, like Kivyakol. That would be the way it is. In other words, like when I treat people nicely, it's like Hashem gets nachas ruach from that. In other words, Hashem doesn't like it when I don't behave properly. When I do behave properly, he likes it. But the drasha is that the word malvei Hashem, you could read as malave, to escort. So if you look in the Rashi, 10, 15 lines to the bottom, kari bei malaver amakom. So it's like when you're honing dal, you show graciousness to the poor person. Like the mace is the dal because he doesn't have anything. He's this is the end for him. So it's like when I'm malava him, I'm like malava hakadosh baruch hu. So he says malava malva hashem honing dal kari bei malaver amakom misha honing adal ve'in lecha dal min amaid. You don't have anybody who's poorer than a maid because he's got nothing anymore. He says v'ha malava otel kilu malaver amakom. So if I escort the maid, it's like escorting like a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And then back in the Gemara, Umechabdo Chonein Avyon. The one who honors Hashem is the one who's Chonein Avyon, who has graciousness to the poor person. Okay, I'm moving on. We got a lot of Gemara to do tonight. I'm going to
see the second half.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody good? Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, Yala. All right, so we're around 8 lines to the bottom at the 2 dots, okay? Rabbi Chiyav Rabbi Yonatan have shakli ba'azli v'ed akvarod. Chiyav Rabbi Yonatan, shakli ba'azli means like to take and go. Simple pshad, I would say, like they would have like robes or whatever. So like, let's say, for the people audio, you don't have the demonstration, but you're wearing like a long robe, you know, it's like a toga, whatever, and now I want to walk, so I grab the end of it, maybe throw it over my shoulder, and then I go. So shakli, I'm taking it, and ba'azli, and go. But but I saw quoted in from Ben Yehoyada, he wanted to say, this is more like with Chachman and Nistar, he wanted to say shakli ba'azli, that they were picking up the nitzotzot, like there are all these nitzotzot in the world, like sparks of Kedusha, and they were picking up and Bevarer, the Nitzotzot. Anyway, so back in the Gemara. So he says that it says Rabbi Chiyah Rabbi Yonatan havu shakli ba'azli v'edekvar hava kashani t'chelta to Rabbi Yonatan. So Rabbi Yonatan, even though it says t'chelta, it means it's tzitzis. So Rabbi Yonatan's tzitzis were like dragging. It says t'chela, but it means Rashi, anything elsewhere explains it means like the tzitzis. It doesn't have to be the blue thread. It means the tzitzis were dragging along the ground on the graves. He says Amar le Rabbi Chiyah dalye k'nishalim v'machar v'ayin es leinav v'shav v'machar v'no tanu. He says you should pick it up so the people who are buried here don't say today they're like, you know, like make like insulting us, and tomorrow they're joining us. So Amar Leim Miyadei Kulihai. He says, do they know? Like the people who are dead. V'haktiv, the pasuk says in the verse in Ecclesiastes, V'hametim einam yodim me'uma, that those who are dead don't know anything. So Amar Leim. So Rabbi Chiyah said to him, Im karit. Now, there's different ways to explain this line. Im karit. Well, the simple pshat is im karit lo shanita. If you read this pasuk once, you didn't learn it twice. Im shanita lo shilashta. If you read it twice, you didn't read it three times. Im shilashta lo pirshulcha. If you went over three times, apparently nobody explained you the pshat. Now he's going to learn a different pshat in the pasuk. But the Maharsha has a pshat which I like. He says im karit lo shanita means if you learn psukim, you never learn mishnayot. Im shanita, if you learn mishnayot lo shilashta, you never learn gemara on it or talmud. And im shilashta lo pir. If you did learn Gemara, you never were mishamish talmidei chachamim because you don't have the right shot in the pasuk. That's kind of a sharp response. But the key is that, like, you know, it's for learning. You know, you need a lot for learning. You need both. You know, you need the pesukim, you need the mishnah, you need the Gemara, and then you need to be mishamish talmidei chachamim. And if you're missing one of those elements, you don't have the right product. Right? You know, So let's take a look back in the Gemara. He says. So it says Ki Achayim. Now he's going to explain that when it says Hameitim Einam Yodim Meuma, the pasuk begins Ki Achayim Yodim Shiyamutu, that the living know that they're going to die. So he's going to explain that the living refers to tzaddikim, and the dead people is referring to Rishayim, not live and dead, like whether your heart is beating or not. If you're a tzaddik, you're called living, and if you're a rasha, you're called dead. And it says, "Ki achayim yodim shiyamutu elo tzadikim shemitan nikru chayim." So those are the tzadikim who in their life are called alive. Now we'll get to it, but there's a lot in the middle, so I don't want you to get confused. So he's saying the pshat in the pasuk is not that the dead people don't know anything, but the tzadikim, the chayim, they know they're going to die and they prepare the life that way. And the Rishayim, they're like oblivious. They're oblivious to what's going to be happening with them, and so they don't prepare for the next world. It doesn't say about whether a person's dead, whether they know anything. Now, here's a famous pasuk. Now, this pasuk talks about Benayahu ben Yehoyada. So I'm sure you've heard of Ben Ish Chai. It's Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. He died in 1909. Is your family from Iraq? No. Oh, okay. Where's your
Tunisia.
From? Tunisia. Okay. So the... So he thought that he was a Gilgal of this person. So each one of his Sfarim is like named after words in this Pasuk. So it says...
Yeah, he prayed by his killer for a few days.
What? Say again, what?
He prayed by his killer for a few days.
Who prayed by whose killer? By the Benayel Ben Yehoyada. Yes. Okay, I didn't even know what the killer is.
It's by Amuko.
Oh, okay, what?
It's a Gilgal.
Gilgal is like a reincarnation. There was an Ashama there, and then, okay. So it says, Shneamar, Ubenayahu ben Yehoyada. Now, there's a pshat in the Pasuk, and then the way the Gemara understands it, and I got to run quickly. Shneamar, Ubenayahu ben Yehoyada ben Ishchai, Rabhali mikavtsael, Huikat shnei Ariel Moav, Huyarad bikat Ari betochabor biomashalik. So if I read and translate the Pasuk, it means Benayahu ben Yehoyada was like a big warrior, and he's from this place, Kavtsael, and he defeated like these two officers of Moav, and he was able to like overcome a lion in the boar on the snowy day. But the Gemara understands the pasuk differently. So the top line on Yud Chet Amud Beis, Ben Ish Chai, and again that's the Ben Ish Chai, right? Ben Ish Chai, Atu Kul Yama B'nei Neitin. You know, what does it mean? Ben Ish Chai is the son of a living man. Are the son of dead people? Like, in other words, he says, Ella Ben Ish Chai Shafil Mitzto Kruvi Chai. In other words, his father, even if his death, is called alive. In other words, because the tzaddikim are called living. In other words, people learn from the tzaddikim, they continue on their mesorah. So the tzaddikim and mitzvotam are called chayim. So that's the reason he brought it down, but we have more here. Rav Pa'ali Mikavtsael, he says, Shiriba b'kibetz po'olim l'Torah. He gathered many workers for Torah, Talmidim, who were going to study Torah, and Mikavtsael, like to be Mikavetz, like gather people around, like for God. V'hui kachne Ariel Moav, Ariel could be a name for the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, Shlomi niyak moto l'mikdash rishom l'mikdash sheni. Now, I think when it says like Moav might be referring, in the words, to like Rut. We'll see in a minute. In other words, that he didn't leave anybody like himself, both during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. He says, He went and he defeated the lion in the pit on the snowy day. Some say that he broke through the ice. He was Valkyrie. And even though Ezra's Takana came centuries later, that he, this Benayahu ben Yehoyada, was still observing that if you have Keri, you immerse yourself, before you study Torah or Davin. where Rashi says Kedit Lasok B'Torah, in order to study Torah, it doesn't say davening. So he says the Tavar Gzidi Debar to Benachar V'Taval. So he's saying Hu Yarad V'Yikad Ari B'Toch Habor B'Yom Hashalig, that he went down and he broke through the ice and immersed himself, and then he says Ikad Amri the Tana Sifra Debei Rab B'Yom HaDesitva. Some say different shot, that he studied Sifra Debei Rab, which is the Sifra B'Yom HaDesitva, on a winter day, meaning that the Sifra Debei Rab is a very difficult sefer to learn. So it's called something, he cut Ha'ari, but he smoked the lion, you know, he was able to accomplish.
One day.
He went through the Sifra on a winter day, and he did that. Anyway, so that's the main thing we were proving from all of this. And I don't know about the Moab part, it might relate to Rut, but the main part that and he says in the look in Tosos, he says Sifra de Beirav me ha'ari darish shehu chamor shebesfarim, whereas the lion is like Sifra de Beirav. So the main thing is that the tzaddikim are called living even though they're dead. And then continue on, v'meitim einam yodim me'uma, the dead don't know anything, eilu rishayim shebechayim kriyim meitim shenemar v'atach halal rasha nesi Yisrael. So this pasuk relates to Tzidkiyahu, who was a righteous king, last king, but he was criticized because he didn't reprove the people, you know, to say they should act differently. So he calls them, even though he was alive, he calls them Chalal Rasha, that you're like a dead corpse, a wicked corpse, even though he was alive. So he's saying Rishayim are called dead, even life. Or else I could deduce it from the following pasuk, al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim yumar hamei, that based on two or three witnesses will the dead person die. So, but the Gemara says chayu, but he's alive. What do you mean he'll die? The dead person will die. Ela hamei meikar, he's already dead because he was a rasha. In other words, the Gemara assumes like if he's going around whatever he did, so he was a rasha. In other words, let's say they warned him, don't be Mechal Shabbos. He says, Afal Pichein, I don't care. You know, here I'm going ahead, I'm putting on the light. so he's called a maid even though he's alive. All right. Anyway, so let's just go over again. So we had Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Yonatan are walking in the cemetery. Rabbi Yonatan sits as they're dragging along the graves. And Rabbi Chi says to him, I don't think you should do that. You should lift them up. So he says, why? Do the Meitim know anything? He says, the Pasuk says in Kohelet, Meitim ein ham yodim uma, the dead people don't know anything, so what does it matter? So Rabbi Chi said back to him, you got the Pasuk all wrong. In other words, I don't think you learned so well, because the Pasuk means that the Rishayim don't know anything. The Meitim are the Rishayim, and the Chayim are the people who Tzaddikim mentions earlier in the Pasuk, and that's it. So so we don't have proof strongly whether, you know, I tell you, a number of years ago, I was present where a Reform rabbi was officiating at a funeral. And I remember he said, you know, everybody should stand on the graves, like they had graves there. The people should come on, like he says, the people there, they don't mind. In other words, like it was a graveside funeral. He says, he says, everybody come on, you know, stand on the other graves. The people don't care. And I'm thinking, my God, you know, like that's against halacha. But this is what you get when you get a Reform rabbi. Okay, what do you want to say?
Wouldn't the tzitzis on the graves just be a loeg larash?
That's what he's saying.
And simple.
That's what he's saying. But the other person was saying they're dead. They don't know anything. So what's loeg larash? They're dead.
But so then loeg larash, according to that shita, would never apply.
Loeg larash would be if you have a poor person. Loeg larash, you're making fun of a poor person. That's what loeg larash.
But
for this, dead right, people. Right, that would be okay. Well, now we're going to sort this out here. Now the question of the Gemara today, for the rest of the daf, going to the next daf, is do the people who are no longer with us, do they know what's going on here on the earth? That's the main question. Okay. So everybody, let's focus. We got to run. We have very little time. We got to go now. So the Gemara says on the first medium wide line, B'nei Rabbi Chiya nafak l'kiryata. Now, Rabbi Chiya was one of the Chachamim involved in the previous incident. Apparently, he's not alive anymore. It doesn't sound like he's alive. So his sons went l'kiryata to the villages. They're checking up on their real estate. He says, Iyakir luhu tamudaihu. So they forgot their learning. The implication is, like, if you get involved with business, you don't remember the learning so well. So Habakam and Sari Lid Kure, they were upset. They were trying to remember. They couldn't remember anymore. So Amar Lechad L'Chavre, so one said to the other, Yada Avun Bahay Tzara, does our father know our Tzara? That apparently Rabbi Chiya wasn't alive anymore. Now remember, Rabbi Chiya is the one who said that there is a Loi Larash. They do know what's going on. So
does he know that pain that we forgot our Torah?
Right. So Amar Le'idach Menayada, he says, He says, how would he possibly know? That his sons will honor him, but he won't know about it when a person's dead. So Amar Leida, the other one said, "V'lo yadi doesn't know." V'haktiv, the pasuk says, "Ach b'suro lav yichav v'nafsho lav ta'avel." So the pasuk, I think it's the next pasuk in Eov, says that his flesh will hurt him and his soul will mourn for it. V'amar Reb Yitzchak kasher rimalame k'machat b'basarachai. Rizka says like a maggot in the deceased is like a pin in a living person. So it means not that there's like a physical response, but that the neshama knows about it and is upset about it. So Amri, they said, so that seems to show, so from that pasuk it seems to show they do yes. know, they are aware of like, you know, what's happening to their body. So Amri, they said in the base medrash, Bitsara did hu yadi, Bitsara dakmin lo yadi, that they know their own sar, they don't know other people's sar. So we didn't prove that they know what's going on in the world.
If you accept
let's wait till I pause, okay? We gotta run. Below, they don't know that, Bahatanya, we learn an incident. Ma'asa b'chasidacha. Now where it says chasidacha, that's a code. So the Gemara and Bava Kama learns it's either Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So the Marsha thinks this is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi because he was very poor, and we'll see when the incident fits in. Bahatanya ma'asa b'chasidacha shtandinar la'ani b'erev Rosh Hashanah b'shnei batzoret. He gave a dinar to a poor person on Erev Rosh Hashanah in a time of famine. V'hiknin tato ishto, his wife, you know, tormented, provoked him about this, like, what did you do? Is that money we need? Anyway, v'halach v'lan v'vedat kvaro. So he went and he spent the night in the cemetery. Now, the Marashat doesn't think it makes sense that a tzaddik like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai would spend Leil Rosh Hashanah in the cemetery, so he thinks that it was a dream that he had, is the way the Marasha wants to take it. V'shamashte ruchot shemesapu zuzu. He overheard two spirits, it's the spirit of two young women who had passed away, speaking to one another. Amra chad l'chaverta, so let's say it's Rachel and Leah. So Rachel says to Leah, chaverati bo'i v'lanashut ba'olam v'nishmami achorei pargo v'mapro and ba'li olam. Let's roam in the world and we'll hear me achorei pargo, it means where the Shekhinah is. Pargo is the curtain. What porada, it was a decree taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Let's get the inside scoop. And one of the Mefarshim said, they quote us in the art scroll, there's the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. So the Nefesh is like the part of the soul that remains with the body. And the Neshama is the one that's in Shemayim. And the Ruach is one that sort of goes between here and there. So it's sometimes with the body, sometimes in Shemayim. So here's talking about with the Ruach, they should go. We're going to roam in the world. We're going to roam in the world. Well, it's not. I'm not clear on that. I don't know the geography.
It's the curtain.
Machoreya Pargod means where the Shekhinah is. That's where that's going.
Yeah.
So Amra Lachaverta. Any Yechola, I can't do that. I don't have time, so I'm going to make this run. But one shot that Slach says is that the Ruach can't go until the body's totally decomposed. So she was buried Machatzelet Shalkanim. Usually you're buried like in thin Takrichim. So, but apparently it was more money. They buried her in a Machatzelet, like with a mat of canes. So it didn't decompose so quickly. So you go, you come back, you tell me what you heard. So she went, she roamed, she came back. What did you hear the latest news? So I heard that whoever plants during the first rain, so barad is like the hail, will destroy it. It will strike it. So the way Rashi takes it, it's this week's Parsha, Shavuot, Makat Barad. So when the stalks grow at the end of the Parsha, so if the stalks are already up, when the Barad hits, so they get destroyed. If it's just beginning to grow, it's just soft and doesn't hit it. So the people who planted, now there's only a few days in between the two of them, but apparently makes a difference. Rashi says the first Revia is around the 7th, is the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, and the second one is the 23rd. And the third Revia is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So he says, Halachu was the Rabbi Revia Shnia. So this Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lai, was over here in the conversation. He planted during the time of the second Revia. In other words, you heard if you plant in the first one, you're getting hit by Barad. So Shalkulam Kululaka, everybody's was destroyed, Shalolaka. The next year, he also went to the cemetery, or the Maharsha, he had a dream. So he heard the two spirits speaking to each other. Amra chada l'chaberta. So one again, Racha said to Leah, "Boi v'nashut b'olam v'nishma b'yakor paragon ma'apur b'avi olam." Let's hear what Leah's gzar din is. Amra l'chaberati lo kacha marti lach eni cholish eni kvur batzash chanim. Now, I think one of the mafarshim wants to say that the other one thought that she'd already decomposed. The Slach wants
that's
to say, but that's why she asked again. But she apparently hadn't decomposed. Elchiyot ma'ashat shemad boi in really. So you go and you tell me what you hear. So halcha v'shata uba. So she went to Rome. She came. But Amrla chaverta chaverti ma'ashemat me'akorei apargo. What did you hear? So Amrla shemat shkolus rei b'rvi yishnia. I heard whoever plants by the second rain, which is the one that's on chaf gimel mar cheshvan, she dafon malke oto. So the wind blast is going to destroy it. So with the wind blast, it's just the opposite. The wind blast is gets the more vulnerable, and the stronger ones are able to withstand it. So Halak was Rabbi Rishona. So he went, he planted the first one. Shalom kulam nishtaf. Everybody got wind blown, wind blasted. Shalom nishtaf. So Amarlo Ishto, so his wonderful Ashes Chayil gave him the problem, you know, before, said to him, how come last year everybody's crops got destroyed, you didn't get destroyed? Apparently they didn't talk to each other. If I heard this thing from the Ruchot, I wouldn't think to mention it to my wife. But he says, how come this year everything got windblown, you didn't get windblown? So Sakla Kol Hadvar Malalo, so he tells her everything that transpired. So Amrum, Lo Yu Yamin Motim, Ashnaf Lakhtata, Bein Ishto, so a short while later, this wife of the chassid who wasn't so nice to him, she got into a fight with the mother of the girl who had passed away and was buried in the Machatzel Shulkanim. So in the course of the argument, she said, "Oh, you want me to go show you your daughter who's buried like in the Machatzel Shulkanim?" And it's like a disparaging statement, like she's married, buried with this cheapo stuff. So the Shana Acheret, the next year, Halak Balan Veda Kvaro, Yishmao Tam Ruchot Shemesapra Tzumzu. So next year, he hears the spirit speaking to one another. Amalam, Chaverati Bobin Ashapolam, Yishmao Mechore Paragod, Mapra Bali Olam. So again, Rachel says to Leah, let's go Rome and we'll see it. So Amalam, Chaverati Anicheni, says, leave me alone. Dvarim Shabeni, the Bain Chakwar, Nishmu Bain Achayim. Things that we have spoken about are being overheard by somebody, so leave me alone. So Alma Yadi, so apparently they do know what's going on in the world, because how did she say she knew what was happening in the world? So the Gemara says, no, Dilma Ina Shachru Nishafi Ba'azil Ba'amar, who maybe somebody died and brought them the latest news. In other words, like it was so they don't know. So the Gemara tried to bring a proof that they know, and the Gemara deflected the proof. Okay, I got to run. Okay, Tashma, Ziri have a mafaki zuzi gabi ushpazichte. Ziri would leave his money with his landlady. Adaati ba'aziel lebei rav shchiva. So between going and coming to the yeshiva's not next door. You know, he left it with the landlady. Maybe I don't know. She might be I don't know a day or two or a week away. He says she died. Azal batra l'chatzar mavin. There's different pshatim. But the way Rashi says he followed her to the cemetery, it means, or it might be it's like spiritually, he says, Amarla zuzi hecha, where's my money? I don't know if you put the money. What happened to my money? So Amarla zil shaklinu mitute b'tzinor d'dasha b'dukplan. It's underneath the door pivot, you know, the tinge of the door in this location. So the aim of the imam, and while you're at it, please tell my mother to send along my comb and my tube of like cosmetics, bahade planit to the akim lachar with plonit, who's going to be around tomorrow. Alma yadi. So apparently they do know. In other words, she knew. Now the Rashi says that the thing about the cosmetics, not that she needed the cosmetics, it's just like to give agmas nefesh, like mourning over her premature death. Or her early death. So, but it seems like since she knew that somebody was going to die, so they know what's going on in this world. So the Gemara says, Dilma Duma Kadimu Machri Zahu. Maybe Duma, who's the Malach in charge of people dying, goes and announces them before they die.
Who's coming up?
Who's coming up. So we didn't, but other things they don't know. Okay, so Tashma. So Shmuel's father was entrusted of the money for the orphans. When Shmuel's father died, lo hava Shmuel gabei. So Shmuel wasn't with him, so he never told him where the money was. Havu kakarule bar achil zuzei diatme. So they disparaged him, called Shmuel, the son who is, you know, busy sponging off the Talmud's money. So azal bachel lechatzar mavet. So he followed his father either the cemetery or somewhere in the spiritual realm. He was able to contact him. So amar lehu baina abba. He says, I need, his father's name was Abba. I need Abba. So amar lehu abba tuba ikka. We have a lot of Abbas here. Ha-ha. So amar lehu baina abba bar abba. We have, I need Abba bar Abba was his father's name. Amar lehu abba bar abba nami tuba ikka. Ha-ha. Amar lehu baina abba bar abba hu de Shmuel hecha. So I need Abba bar Abba, who's Shmuel's father. Where is he? So amar lehu, so limited to the Riki. He went to the yeshiva Shamala. So while this is going on, he sees Levi, who had passed away, is sitting outside the circle of the people who had passed away. So Amar Le Amay Yafi Dibroi, how come you're sitting outside the circle? So Mai Tamal Osalkin, how come you don't go to the Yeshiva Shamala? So Amar Le Da Amri Li Koki Hanach Shani Lasliqa Limitivta the Rebbe Office Vachlishte Ladaite Lomalina Lach Limitivta the Rakia. So it's an incident in Masechta Ksuvos. It says that Rebbe, at the end of the Masechta, Rebbe, before he died, he directed that Reb Chanina should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So Reb Chanina didn't want to accept the appointment. And instead, because Reb Afis was a year and a half older than him, so he deferred to him. So Reb Afis became the Rosh Yeshiva. So Reb Chanina, he decided to stay outside the Beis Medrash because he felt like if he would go to the Beis Medrash, it's like transgressing Rebbe's instructions. So while he was out there, Levi kept him as a chavrusa. Levi joined him as chavrusa. So the Gemara says, so Reb Chanina doesn't seem like he was punished. He didn't do anything wrong. But Levi, the Gemara says, caused chalishas das to Rabbi Afis, was the new Rosh Hashiva, and Levi staying outside the Beis Medrash, it like caused him a little agmas nefesh. So he said that all the time that you stayed out of the Beis Medrash, and that you got to be outside here. So he says, "Matipta derekia adahaki ba'achi atavua." So then his father showed up, Shmuel's father. Chazid habakabachi ba'achi. He saw that he was crying and laughing. Amalei my time al kabachi. Why are you crying? Amalei la'agal ka'atid. Because pretty soon you're going to come. You're going to be with
is
me.
This at the dead. Cemetery?
The father is speaking to his son Shmuel.
In the cemetery.
Either in the cemetery or in some way he's able to, like, you know, ruchnius go there. So he says, La'al ka'atit. He says, my time, so you're coming here soon. So I'm crying for that. My time, achicha, why'd you laugh? The chashivit b'hai alma tuva. Because you're chashiv in this world greatly. So there's different shaktim. Either it means that you're chashiv in this world, the living world, or the way Tosfos says that you're chashiv in the next world. So Amar Le, Yichashivna, if I'm so chashuv, Nailu Levi, so then I want you to bring Levi up to the Rekia Shemayim, to the Yeshiva Shemala, I should say, the Matip to the Rekia. By Lul Levi, so they did do that. So Amar Le, Zuzi Yatni Hecha, where's the money from the Yitomim that you had? Amar Le, Zil Shaklinu, Ba'am to the Rechaya. He says, you'll find it in the, they said this, like, out of the bedstone, like the foundation of the millstones. The money on the top and the bottom is ours. The money in the middle, I don't know if they were in packages or whatever, that belongs to Yitomim. So I'm really, my time about Hachi, why did you do that way? So I'm like, if somebody steals some money, they'll steal from our money, it'll be on top.
Yeah.
If the land, like, ravages the money, like, destroys it, like, through. So Akla Mididan. So Alma. So the Gemara says, so from the fact that he said that you're chashuv either in the world where you are, or he's
coming up,
or you're going to be dying soon, the whole thing. So the way Tosfos takes it, that that Duma only knows like an hour ahead of time, whatever. But this is like saying soon you'll be here, like not today, tomorrow, but soon. So they know. So the Gemara says, Dilma Shani Shmuel came in the Chashi Kabim Makrazi Panumakom. So maybe Shmuel's different. Maybe that's not approved. Maybe Shmuel's so Chashuv that him, they announce ahead of time, it makes space. He's coming, right. So far. Right. So far, we haven't been able to prove conclusively that they know what's going on. I'll run through this next couple lines and then I'll have to be able to take up where we are tomorrow. But after Rabbi Yonatan Hadarbe. Now, Rabbi Yonatan had been the one in the cemetery walking with the tzitzit is going over the graves. Rabbi Yonatan said they don't know anything. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yonatan was chozer, retracted his original position. How do we know that the dead people speak with one another? At the end of Zos HaBracha, so like Moshe Rabbeinu, he shows Moshe Rabbeinu all of Eretz Israel, and he says you're going to die soon. So he says, this is the land that I swore to give to Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Lay more, my lay more, saying, go tell Avram Yitzchak Yaakov that the shua that I gave them got fulfilled. I want you to, in other words, you're going to be there soon. Bring them the latest news. So he says, now the top line of your Ten Medal, the Isa Kadaita Lo Yadi. If you assume they don't know what's going on in the world, Ki Amar Lehu Mayahavi. Now the part is that we said already that people die and bring news. But the way the Maharsha understands this, this is working within Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan said that the Meitim Einam Yodim Uma, they don't know anything. In other words, that's what Rabbi Yonatan said. The Meitim don't know anything. So Rabbi Yonatan, if he's saying that you go tell them, so they do know, they're with it with the things in this world. Ella, my diade, so my diade, they do know, Salamalei Lamei Mar Lahu, so why even tell them? They know what's going on. Well, they need him to tell them, Moshe Rabbeinu. Lazukili Tivut Lamoshe. They show gratitude to Moshe Rabbeinu. They'd arranged everything, worked out that way. Okay, the learning tonight was Leilu Neshama, Abrazel, but not Tanakoin, Zephron Lavracha.